Good morning. It's the 1st of January. I'm going to read today from Brother Dudley Fifield's book, The Praises of Israel, and here is part of his commentary on Psalm 1. It would seem to be completely inappropriate for the opening psalm, which can, in a sense, be regarded as a preface to the entire book of Psalms, to be anything other than messianic in its content. It is a strange thing, but a perusal of about half a dozen works on the Psalms did not produce a single reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he who is the substance of so many prophetic utterances in the Psalms, whose heart and mind is revealed in so many of the crises of his life through his spirit in the writers, must surely be the man of whom the psalm speaks. Of course, in general terms, it can be said to contrast the righteous with the ungodly. But it is worthy of note that in verses 1 to 3, where the unrighteous are described in the plural, the contrast is with a single individual, the man. His delight, he meditated, he shall be like a tree, etc. And it is only the Lord Jesus who has fully realized the language of the psalm, for he is preeminently the righteous one, the ideal man. Of course, the psalm's words have meaning for all God's servants, but only inasmuch as they reflect the example of the perfect man, in that measure in which they have followed the footsteps of their Lord. It is interesting that the psalm in its description of the righteous one should allude in a most obvious way to earlier scripture. Where the language here is a positive assertion of the attributes of the godly, the words echo God's exhortation to Joshua, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Those words are from Joshua chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. Joshua, in leading the people to their promised rest, was a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bore the same name, and emphasized the fact, following the death of Moses, that what the law could not do would be accomplished by God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That the Lord delighted in God's law as no other is evident from the gospel records. His temptation particularly illustrates the benefits of his constant meditation upon the word of God, as oft times he resorted to some solitary place to continue in prayer and meditation through the long hours of the night. Thus he could rebut the suggestions of the temptation with his firm assertion, "It is written." And it is particularly significant that his three quotations are drawn from within the space of three chapters in Deuteronomy, in the context of which it is recorded, "And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Brother Dudley continues, "Real and lasting happiness, of the type which is described in the first few verses of this psalm, is not found in material things, or in the ways of man's own devising, but is achieved through an understanding and practical application of the revealed will of God." Thank you for listening.